Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler. And each week we rotate through the different growth strategies. Like one week it's growing your business through franchising, the next week it might be IPOs, and the next week it might be just geographic expansion. And we focus on mid-sized companies. Most of our listeners are at about the $20 million mark with 200 in mind. The second group of people is at about $10 million. The third group of people are division heads of large corporations. And a fourth group are small companies. And this is, you know, you're listening for where you're headed, so we welcome all of you. And before I go too far, I want to make sure you have some contact information for me, particularly this time of year. I'm looking for your questions, what kind of topics you want to make sure we cover in 2007. We are in the process of scheduling the guests for the first and second quarter of 2007. And I've gotten some really good suggestions. That's great. I can be reached at www.thegrowthstrategist.com, thegrowthstrategist. Somebody wrote down the growth strategist, G-R-O-S-S. No, it's growth. We're talking about growing your company. And the email is Aldana, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at Ambler, A-M-B-L-E-R.com. So if you know my name, you can reach me by email. And if you know my name, you can reach me toll-free by calling me at 1-888-ALDANA. Now, I'm serious about asking you for, you know, your requests about what you want us to talk about and which kind of guests you're looking to hear, because that matters. Now, what we do is we, if you've noticed, if you've gone back over the past 2 years or picked out key shows that you've liked, I try to pick a range of industries and range of locations. We've had them from all over the United States and different countries, and it's not always the same kind of industry. We've had manufacturers, we've had service, we've had government people, I mean, you name it. And we do try to keep it to a peer-to-peer show of mid-sized companies. We don't want to have, you know, little tiny companies, startups, and wondering how they're going to do this way off in the future. It is trying to be CEO to CEO. And it's not a show of resource people with authors and speakers and consultants talking at you. And every once in a while I put a resource person in very, very selectively and make sure they don't sell to you. You're not going to want to hear that. So those are kind of the parameters, and so if you have some suggestions, I'd love to hear from you. We have some shows coming up in January. What we're doing is we're reaching out to some of the people that we've had on the show over the last few years that had particularly interesting strategies that they were in the middle of. And it's the where are you now? So one of the gentlemen that was working with a very tricky acquisition, we want to know where he is. Somebody else who was convinced that their product launch was going to take off and was really hot. And I was suggesting to them, I was a little concerned about pirates that were going to copy the formulation. He didn't like me saying that, but I was a little concerned about how vulnerable they were. We're going to find out, you know, how it worked out. I hope I was wrong. I hope that they were completely impervious to pirates, but I don't know. And et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I can't promise which ones are going to say yes. We're still working on that. But I like the idea of, you know, it's not static. Just because you think you have a wonderful growth strategy doesn't mean that everything's going to work all smoothly or that the world's exactly the same. We need to have a strategic plan in place, but you also need to be responsive and flexible to the changing conditions. When Hurricane Katrina hit, it certainly changed the rules for the people who had their businesses in the southeast of section of the United States. So we need to look at that and say, all right, how resilient was your business in the last few years? I'm going to do a few shows that are about, you know, my perception of what's going to be happening in the next couple of years. I'm seeing some trends that are very powerful and important and share some of my observations from my client base. Many of you who have been listening for a while know that I've been working as a growth strategist for 35 years. I know, I look like I'm 10, but that's a long time. And it's over 850 clients, and so the patterns of what the people in these various industries get into, it's intriguing. It's not boring. It's just fascinating what makes growing a business so tricky. And frankly, I am one of the, I'll foreshadow a little of it. I'm seeing people's attitudes towards money changing this particular year. I went back over my clients. I went back over what I've been reading in the literature. I've been back over what I'm hearing in case studies. And the role of money is changing. So I think I'm going to have a show on the role of money and attitudes towards money. So, and then in the next couple of weeks, let's foreshadow a few of them. We have Art Gouda of PSE&G coming on December 12th. And the reason I'm asking someone from a utility to talk, that's unusual because it's not your normal 20 to 200 million. They went through a process in the last few years of a very public negotiation of a potential merger. And then it didn't happen. And I want us to look at, you know, the times when you feel like you're in this glass house, that your growth strategies are right out there. Everybody thinks they know what you're doing. Everybody thinks they know what the punchline is. Can you imagine, you know, if it's all in the paper and then you have to undo the deal? And so, what, you know, it's all been in the paper. It seems terribly, terribly public. But not the whole world knows what happened. And Art's going to share some of the inside skinny about what did that feel like? How do they remain whole? What do they need to do to take care of their customers? How do they remain profitable, et cetera, for you to think about. Some of the strategies that we talk about on this program, they're risky, they're expensive, they take time, and how do you remain whole because they don't always work? You know, the risk involves sometimes you shift gears. And on December 19th, Cheryl Beth Kuchler is going to be with us, and she facilitates a CEO think tank. And she's one of those people, you're just better for being in the room with her, and there's subtle ways that she thinks. And I want her to share some of what she's hearing from business owners as they're struggling with their questions and trying to reflect on their styles and think about the directions of their business. We're going to be, you know, it's the end of the year. We're going to get a little reflective. So on the 19th, we're going to be doing that. Now, what are we doing today after all that grand opening? I am so excited about our guest. I've wanted him on the show for, oh gosh, 6 months, and he was too busy, and I finally got a yes. And we're going to be talking about how you make tricky strategic decisions, keeping your brand in mind. So, now wait a minute. Everybody says, brand, what are you talking about? But think about it. I have some examples to give you. Let's say hypothetically, your brand, you're really known for that customer intimacy. You know what I mean? You truly take the time to know your customers. You have the focus groups. You really get to know their buying patterns. You don't wing it. You're not forcing products on them. Your company invests in the research. You do the secret shopper. You know the trends before anybody else. Your competitors would love to buy your research because then they could figure things out. And when you run a catalog, you know precisely which color plays to your customers. You do demographic information, you know, an incredible amount. All right, now that's what you're known for. Your brand is that you truly, truly know the customer base. All right, now how does that affect your brand? How does that affect, let's just try one, your choice of locations? Just pause for a second. I didn't even tell you what the customer base was. Just abstractly, how does it change the questions when you're looking at locations? Because it changes the questions. That's the point. You would pause and actually do a little more research about the response that your customers would have to the location you chose. They're going to be even more sensitive to the street you chose, more sensitive to the facade of the building, more sensitive to the size of the building, more sensitive to the way you did your grand opening or the way you invited people to an open house. Because if your brand declares that you know how they think, it's a promise. Right there is the promise no matter what your product is. I didn't tell you what the product was. But the behavior of we know our customer base, we are part of your culture, we are part of the family, et cetera, has its responsibilities. It has a burden. And it means you need to be much more deliberate in the execution of things like location. Okay, now I've dealt with a client this last year, and it was like I was talking to a wall. They felt that because they knew their customers and they had that down, that the customers would just follow them. That whatever location they chose and whatever party they did, that people would just come. Of course, they would have a good time. The trust had been built, and the synergy would be there. They got cocky. You get it? So think about what your brand means. All right, let's try another one. What if your brand is the opposite? What if your brand is that you're from a distance and you're a collection of companies? You have acquisitions, and you buy a combination of different companies that don't seem, they seem kind of unrelated, and you are basically balance sheet oriented is kind of the phrase that some people use to describe that. You're like a financial person. And, you know, you're not so hung up about which customers it is, and you don't do demographics and none of that stuff. If it makes you money, you probably do it. All right, how does that affect your staffing? Let's try another strategic question. How does that affect your staffing? Pause. Again, I didn't tell you the product. Didn't tell you the industry. Just if your brand has, and it does affect brand, you wouldn't think that ownership and whether or not you're balance sheet oriented affects your brand. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. The public, the people can tell if there is the detached view from the ownership, the ownership pool. They can. They can feel it. People know that there is employees that own Avis. They can feel it. All right. How does that affect your choice in staffing? Nothing. Does it mean that you have to compensate for it and have people who would be able to connect with customers and make sure that there is some kind of feeling of community somewhere? Does it mean that you can still be just financially oriented and it doesn't have to be dealt with at all? Does it mean that you would have to have people who could only look at money and it can be transaction-based and you remain very, very flexible and you could let a business go and it doesn't make a big deal and so you can come in and out of marketplaces faster than other people and you're happy about it? So you don't get attached and your whole culture is hiring people who won't get too attached. Now, all of those questions are appropriate answers. Which would you choose? You follow what I'm saying? Do you know your brand? Do you know the implications of the major questions? Wait to hear this guy's story. I'm going to introduce you to Dennis Shaw when we come back. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Listen wherever you are. 24-hour business and financial news. Solid, focused, and informed. The leader in business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the program. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about growing your mid-sized business, keeping your brand in mind to guide your major strategic decisions like acquisitions and products and staffing, etc. And I made a mistake in the opening segment. I didn't pronounce somebody's name right, and it matters. The gentleman's name is Art Guida, and I think it matters to people how their name said. I said, I don't want somebody saying Aldona. So our guest today, Dennis, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of a thumbnail sketch about what you've been doing and where you've been headed, and then we're going to go back and do a little more of the journey, because I'd like the listeners to catch the logic behind the steps, because they may not have made the same decisions you made, and that's the whole point of the show. What guided the decisions that you made? Now, let's make sure I do it right here. Your dad was one of these people that was a balance sheet guy, and he had acquired your, he was from India, correct?
That's correct.
And he had acquired, like 20 different companies, and they were things like metal finishing and furnishing and fabric and mobile home manufacturing and exercise equipment, a whole range of things.
That's correct.
And you, when you were growing up, you decided you wanted to focus on the furnishing side of the business. And your style is a little bit different from your father. So one of the things that you did when you took over that part of the business and created your own piece was that you bought, you continued your father's legacy of, you bought a few companies, one in Long Island, one in Massachusetts, one in New York, and they were kind of incorporated into a business. And for a while, it went from 50 to 80 employees, and you kind of combined these things, and then you moved the people from Massachusetts into New York into Hoboken. I get it?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, that's a big change. I want everybody to hear.
Actually, also, we consolidated some people from New York into Hoboken.
That is not easy.
Yeah.
Now, everybody's got to hear that journey, because that is not easy. Now, in general, your company, which is, at the time, Chambord Prints, and we'll talk about what that means and what you did, is a mill. And you have large contracts with designers to do handcrafted wallpaper. So the designers that have these big contracts and the ones that want to put the, you'll have to tell us the details. But the idea is, I want the listeners to hear, this is a manufacturing facility. This takes a lot of work. You have to make sure that your people can do it in a quality way. But this is a manufacturing company with contracts. Job shop, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Exactly,
you're not building, you're not just doing a whole bunch of wallpaper and having them in inventory and everybody orders from stock.
That's right. We're manufacturing as people require,
right.
And it is manufacturing in this country, which is sort of much rarer these days.
Yeah. Well, there's another thing that's unique, is choosing to do manufacturing in the United States. So then, all right, so then you make the decision recently that you want to have your own line of product. Even though you have these wonderful contracts and these wonderful designers and this great reputation, you've got an idea and you've got, and you make a decision to have your own product line. That's a big decision. And it's worked well for you because now what's going on is you've won just a ton of awards, including House and Garden labeling you a new tastemaker. You've gotten, there's a Wallpaper Magazine award ceremony in London where you got a big thing where Donna Karen and all these big names are the judges and they think you're hot stuff. And now you got showrooms coming in Australia and Beijing and London. You're hot. Did I catch it?
I hope so. I think so.
Well, now there's a lot more detail, but I want people to hear, okay, some of your strategic decisions have been things like acquisition, moving, you know, a consolidation.
That's right.
Innovation of product. And, now, it depends on how you want to word it, competing with yourself.
Spin-off, yes,
whatever you want to call that.
Yes, it's sort of vertically, moving vertically. And growing the business in that fashion.
All right. Now, I want that to sink in because the listeners are going, okay, here we got a guy. Now, there's a lot of other ways to word this. This guy's got a traditional mill. He's in manufacturing. I could have done this a whole lot of ways. I could have said, all right, here's a guy with 80 employees. He's in New Jersey. He's got a manufacturing company. He's got 80 people. He's in Hoboken. I mean, you could always present this a different way. You know, how exciting is that? Well, Dennis, your company is exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, we've been growing fast. I'm very glad to see some of these very risky decisions we took at the end seem to be panning out. There seems to be a great amount of interest in what we're doing. And I think what was unique about developing our own collection rather than just growing in the way we had been for a while was we're finding it changing the entire industry. We find what we are doing is now opening up the entire world of interior design and
wallpaper. You're like a trend maker.
Exactly, and it's actually helping the old business, if I can call it that, grow also, because there's more attention coming, because what we decided to do was create patterns and collections. We hired some of the best artists and worked with some very unique resources to create to fill what we thought was a bit of a void in the market. Mm-hmm. We were finding there was sort of a lot of young people who were looking at doing up their homes in a very different way than a lot of other people had been. And so we decided to create a collection that addressed that market.
Well, you guys were leaders when, you know, is it the larger company is for Chambord Prints? You know,
that's right. I guess Chambord is the main company.
Okay, and you'd have been successful with that because, for example, your product would be seen in the Blue Room of the White House when they did the renovation.
That's right.
The first renovation since the Kennedy's era, right?
That's correct.
And if you go in a castle in Ireland, you're probably going to see your stuff for the Wyndham Hotel in Macau. And when Saks Fifth Avenue stores want to do a fancy display, guess who's, wallpapers there, right?
That's right.
You've made a statement even before you did your own line.
That's correct.
So you're used to that.
We're used to that. But we decided to take that a step forward. So basically we decided, well, we have all this wealth of talent within the company, and there seems to be a lot of the other things you described were much more traditional. As you said, the White House, the castles, it was a very traditional look. And I think it's important to understand the market and what your company can do also. So we looked at both things, and we said, you know what, there's a new place one can go. And not only will it help us, it should help the entire industry. And it started opening up new doors because a lot of people were not using wallpaper and were finding, you know, it has a certain look and that's not for us.
I want to go back because I meant to say to you, you know, mm-hmm. and I've said to the listeners, mm-hmm. the journey matters and you've made several strategic decisions.
That's
everything
right.
from, let's start with your dad's business. You know, it's a family business. You've mm-hmm. got 20 companies. You're choosing to focus on the furnishing side. That right there was a unique decision. Do you remember what was going through your mind? How long ago, you know, how different was that from what was going on in the family? What was your logic then?
Okay, yes.
I know it feels funny to go back, but that's what this is about. This is because your family had a brand.
That's right. And part of it is also culturally speaking. I mean, originally, as you pointed out, we are from India, mm-hmm. and we had a lot of different businesses in India, too. Mm-hmm. And the strategy in India through the 60s and 70s was companies would go through acquisitions, and the main core competency was basically management. So if you could manage one business, you could manage many different businesses, and capital. If you had the capital, mm-hmm. you could pretty much be in any business. Mm-hmm. Because you could hire the talent.
Not everybody did that,
but it's very common over there in India mm-hmm. for people to be in multiple businesses. Mm-hmm. So they'll be from manufacturing soap to making cars, mm-hmm. to shampoos, to carpets, to even a finance business.
I felt that was pretty common in some of the big conglomerates in the 60s and 70s here as well. And some folks have started to look at their portfolio in the 70s and 80s and say, wait a second, we're a food company. Why do we own, you know, like Beatrice, when it started to look at why do we have lamps? Why do we have a lamp division when we were in food?
That's right.
You know, a lot of that, wait a minute, let's stick with the knitting and decide what we are, started to happen in the 80s.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I think the trends happened in both places. India probably lagged the U.S. in that, and to some extent, India still has a large amount of that, companies mm-hmm. that are in multiple businesses.
So do you think it was generational, that you know, you wanted to focus, or was it something
For me,
else?
It was I wanted to focus, but also I think the way things work changes. For example, in America, you cannot run five different companies that are in different businesses and depend on the people to run them for you the way you can in India, because a person working for you here has a lot of options, and so you really need to be able to have them focus on something.
Or you mean one individual can't focus on five different things?
Exactly. In India, you could actually just hire people to run all of these divisions for you and just leave it up to them, so you could just keep focusing on growth and acquisition. Whereas here, I think you really
have to... Loyalty is a little different because they have more options?
Exactly. Loyalty is different, plus you're supposed to be a real expert in your industry. There's much more competition, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to know your industry in and out, and industries are changing much faster here. Now, that started happening all around the world. But at least through the 70s and 80s, America went through a lot of that.
Now, what differentiates your family businesses from other people, though? Go back to the brand. You know, because you have an imprint that you have on companies. It isn't just wallpaper, or it isn't just furniture. How do you know a Shaw company from others?
Okay.
You know
I think
I mean?
this is sort of an answer that emerged, I would say.
Okay.
One had to study it. One had to try a few different things. As you said, we had a lot of different businesses. I don't think the consumer really knew that these are all Shaw businesses, but perhaps internally there was a management style, managing things from a balance sheet, and perhaps, you know, that was the style and that was the brand. It was very internal.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to...
You seem very quality-focused to me. It isn't just that you make money.
That's correct.
Has that been a long-term, generational kind of a thing that you got to do things right?
That's right. Equality and also building a reputation. I think generationally, I think there's a difference between, I think to me, the most important brand that you can create is for people to stand for something in people's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And to make it broad enough that you can still grow within it.
Now, this is kind of a loaded question because I think I know the answer.
Okay.
Are all the companies that your family's been involved with, there's been a trustworthiness that's been there no matter what the product was?
Yes, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so
I know you're a humble man, so you're not going to bring it up, but I would suspect that would be behind the brand of your businesses.
Yes, even if it was a different generation, my father to him, the important thing was yes, all of these have to be respected in the market.
Mm-hmm.
You have to deliver a value,
mm-hmm.
and
did he ever get rid of a company?
Oh yeah, so probably.
Okay, what would be the logic for getting rid of a company?
Well, it varied because the companies did vary a lot, but perhaps industries were sort of dying out. And I think to a large extent, my involvement started changing that, and the logic started to become not just that the industries were dying out, manufacturing was moving offshore, but also what if these don't fit the picture?
Mm-hmm. What
and
picture?
The picture being we are going to be now a company of home furnishings, interior design,
okay.
And looking within at the talents that we have within our company. Because
so you represented some glue where there needed to be some relationship between the various businesses. It wasn't enough just to be balance sheet.
That's
you wanted
right.
to have the respect for being known for something, not just a mix of companies.
Exactly.
Okay,
and that,
so it was an evolution.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, so now you chose the furnishing side.
Mm-hmm.
What was the logic behind you acquiring businesses rather than doing it organically?
Initially, I thought we wanted to grow quickly, so that was something that we said the best way to grow, the fastest way to grow, was through acquisition.
But then you had to change them. You had to move them, and you had to clean house. You had a big turnover in people. So was that a good idea?
Yeah, well, we're still here.
That was expensive, you know. Yeah, not only did you have to buy them, you had to consolidate them and move them.
You're absolutely right. There's a lot that goes into that. We had looked over the years. We'd looked at many companies, and I would say we passed on most of them.
Yeah.
And then you have to pick just the right ones. And there were some huge risks that we took.
Yeah.
There was a company that we bought where we had to. We were negotiating, and then we decided at the end the only way to make this happen was not just take loans. We'd have to put a huge amount of capital in just the acquisition. And with any company, when people think of acquisition, they think of acquisition costs. I always say the biggest cost is the working capital that follows, because these are usually companies that are having a problem.
Yeah.
And the minute you become the owner, the first thing you have to deal with is have the capital that requires you. You probably have clients that are not paying,
mm-hmm.
payroll that's behind,
mm-hmm.
employees that have not been given raises. So you have all these hidden liabilities waiting for you.
Oh, and people who've talked themselves into a corner and ready to quit that should stay.
Exactly.
So now the reason I ask that is if you were, what I wonder about,
mm-hmm.
if you were known for management, for example,
mm-hmm.
and you had the methodologies of having multiple companies,
mm-hmm.
couldn't you have created your own business? You knew the equipment and such.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just create your own and have your own people and not go through that transformation?
It's actually a very good question. I almost see it as a two-part question, which I didn't think of. I think one of our key assets, I realized, as you pointed out, was sort of a management style and management expertise.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, we've got some music going, but I'm going to revisit this.
Okay.
And I'm making Dennis go backwards here, and it's hard. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back with the logic behind acquisition or organic growth.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in The Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Hey, Ranger, why do you have to remind people to be careful with fire?
Well, Mr. Mountain Lion, sometimes people need to be reminded about certain things, like not to run with scissors or let children play with wild dingoes, and to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you're saying is that people can be careless and forgetful?
Pretty much.
That makes me very sad.
Sounds like someone needs a hug.
Back off or I'll turn your hat into confetti!
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service's State Forester, and the Ad Council.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. Don't wait.
Maybe it's a loved one suddenly slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Which what they're saying about the product, depending. Hello, this is The Growth Strategist. This is Aldana Ambler. We're live. We didn't have the same kind of break that we did. I apologize for the technical error. I'm on the air with Dennis Shaw of Chambord Prints and Studio Printworks. Now, Studio Printworks is his newest venture, and we're going to get to that in a few seconds. But I got so far as to ask, you know, Dennis, why he was acquiring businesses. It kind of like how his father did. It's partly that. But it's also that your brand of your business wasn't just the product at the time. Apparently the brand of your family and your business was this management technique, right? That you were known for good management.
That's correct. And we decided that that was something that we wanted to extend. And so we decided acquiring a company and applying that same management style was going to be our strategy. It would be much easier than to do it internally because you could get a large company and immediately apply a management style.
Now, see, I laugh at that in a way because I think about all the people that hear that and they go, you're going to think that an acquisition and imposing your management style and dealing with all that resistance is easier. You know, it's everybody's different. And that's the point. You know, you think that that's the easier way to go and someone else thinks that's a nightmare.
It depends very much on the circumstance, and
yes.
It depends on your own management style. I mean, to some extent, you know, running things, especially if you have companies that are similar to yours, And you can spot what the problems are.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great advantage to being able to duplicate that formula. Certainly there are nuances and, you know, hidden liabilities and definitely a culture clash. And people will, one of the hardest things is always managing people. We always think the hard thing is to figure out the calculations, the numbers. No, but managing people is a real skill, especially when you come in, they're suspicious. As to why is this person acquiring this company, and what are they going to do?
And you all, and you also analyze the marketplace and the trends, because what I'm hearing, and I want the audience to hear, is there's evolving brand in your business of being leaders, of being change agents. So you're on this cutting edge, and over the history of what you've done, that's become more the brand than even the design of the wallpaper. You hear it? I don't know what the design of your wallpaper or the design of your furniture or the design of what your next product's going to be after that, but I'll bet you it's going to be leading. I'll bet you it's going to be introducing a change. I'll bet you it's going to involve management. I'll bet you it's going to be involving helping people who are resistant and nervous cope with something new and take them somewhere that they've not been, because that, to me, when I listen to your story, Dennis, that's your brand.
Yes, this whole thing is about managing your brand and understanding how to keep extending it without watering it down, without watering down the core brand. And perhaps sometimes you find that you have a new brand, perhaps, that has been created in the process.
Uh-huh.
And how to keep both alive and keep moving forward on both.
Have you always been a leader?
Yes, very much in our industry. And sometimes the industry, when you do make an acquisition, one of the great things is to see the reception from the industry. Mm-hmm. There were clients who said, listen, this company that you acquired, we were having a lot of problems with them. The minute that you walked in, we knew that you would solve the problems, and here we are 3 months later, and the problems are gone.
Now, there's a burden. There's a burden with being a leader. There's a burden with being this change agent, okay? So now I want to know, when you guys started to do this conversation internally about, you know, I think we have a design here. There's a hole in the marketplace. We could do our own design. How did you introduce this to your existing customers that are paying you? You know, obviously you did something right that they didn't go, how dare you? How did you do that?
Yes, that was a huge risk. That was probably the biggest risk that we took.
So far.
What we took, I mean,
you're going to keep doing risks.
In terms of, so far.
How did you do that?
What we decided to do was throw the ball a little further away. We decided there was a huge hole in the market, that we were going to create a product that was not a threat to the existing customer base, but actually brought in new clients into the industry. So what we found happened was we not only grew a new business, but we actually changed the industry to the extent where the product category as a whole became interesting again to the market, and we're finding both parts of our business are growing as a result. There's
now,
more
I could see that you could see that. Here's what would happen in a lot of industries.
Mm-hmm.
The customers that you would have would get parochial.
Mm-hmm.
They would get threatened.
Mm-hmm.
They might not have the vision to agree with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
They might not understand that there was a gap, and they'd feel, well, maybe I could have done it. Why are you doing it? I mean, people get argumentative. How'd you prevent that kind of adversarial response?
I think also a lot of it is sort of service, and also perhaps turning up the flames a little bit in terms of providing greater service to the client so they feel more secure.
How'd you do that? Okay, so you worked on multiple planes.
Exactly.
All right, so tell us a little bit of how you did that. How did you take care of them so they were comfortable?
Okay, we made sure that in no way did they feel that our focus was going to change.
Okay.
That we were not pulling out resources, but we were going to apply resources to both, and that they could see a growth in their business and interest in this category of product due to the new business.
Did you convene meetings to demonstrate it and give them like a business proposal?
No, we didn't do a formal business proposal.
No kidding.
But we did outline, we thought about that. We said, you know, there's different ways of approaching this.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided, you know, when they would see results, for example, more interest on the whole by the by their clients in the entire product category, that they would feel more secure.
Yeah, I've seen some other people do this, and they make like an industry presentation about, we're going to make a move to try to expand, it's called the expand the pie strategy.
That's correct.
We're going to have, you know, instead of we're fighting over the small pieces of the pie, we're going to expand the pie, that kind of analogy. And, you know, it's the expand the pie presentation. And here's what we're doing to bring more business for all of us. Mm-hmm. Here's the piece that goes to you guys. Give mm-hmm. us some examples about how much more you're going to want and how you're going to contribute. Here's what we're doing for us, and here's what we're doing for you. That kind of presentation for everybody to feel collegial.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, some other people listening to this, sometimes you have to make a pretty big demonstration out of it to debug the issues and make sure everybody's concerns are answered.
Well, that could cut two ways. As soon as you make a big deal out of it, people think that there is something here to worry about, and that's what you're addressing.
Interesting.
So I decided the way to do it was just do it through actions, provide them with greater service, provide them with more support in what they were doing, and then demonstrate to them as much as possible that there was, for example, trade magazines, industry magazines were giving this whole product category greater coverage.
Right. So how do you show them? Because if they're kind of busy or skeptical or wondering if they got their piece, don't they?
They can
sometimes
see
they don't complain. Sometimes they don't call. They just walk with their feet.
That is absolutely true. Also, part of it is we had to also recognize that we had a relationship with these people for a long time.
Yeah.
That they respected. So I couldn't say that had we been on shaky ground to start with, I would have made this a strategy.
Yeah.
Part of the reason the strategy came out, and this goes back to the issue of brand, is
right.
we felt very secure that we had a strong brand.
Right.
And that our clients appreciated everything we did.
Right.
And then we gave that a 1-2 by continuing and growing the amount of service that was given. So I think it's important when you're growing your business, not forget the old piece.
Oh, yeah.
And
in fact, just like I did in the opening, you know, one of my clients got cocky. I'm not saying you did, but, you know, one of my clients got cocky, and they started to open locations, and they didn't make the big play to the, you know, the customers and just assumed everybody was going to follow them. And there was really an annoyance, and they lost some ground that they weren't expecting to lose because they presumed that they were in this leadership position and everybody would just follow them.
Yes, that's something you definitely have to be aware of and probably have a strategy for.
So how are you protecting the downside?
The downside being?
Well, the potential downside. Somebody gets jealous. Because you're winning these awards, and you're hot, and you're making more money, and somebody gets jealous. I mean, it is the United States. You know, sometimes there's that kind of behavior.
Oh, absolutely. This happens everywhere. And, you know, frankly, it's a difficult process, and it's not one big thing. It's many little things.
Yes.
It's everything from, you know, some of the promotions that we've made sure have been pretty generic so that everyone in the industry benefits.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we were featured on a television show. And not only did we talk about our product, we talked about the process on the whole.
Right. Yeah, you got to find ways to bond with all the individual customers one-on-one.
Exactly.
I got you. Well, see, I told you it would go really fast.
Yeah.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Amber. We'll be right back with Dennis Shaw of Chambord Prints and Studio Print.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in The Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtain growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Bleeding profits, rupturing customer service. These business diseases can not only cripple a company, but kill it. On Business Diseases, Cure Them or Die with Dr. Tom Rogers and Jim Velas. These symptoms of a sick business are exposed, diagnosed, and effective treatments and vaccinations are offered. Tune in to Business Diseases, Cure Them or Die, every Thursday at noon Pacific on Voice America Business to eliminate diseases contaminating your business and promote healthy, profitable growth.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. And before we go too far, I want to make sure you have contact information for Dennis Shaw of Chambord Prints and Studio Printworks. Dennis, where would people reach you?
They can actually, we have a website,
okay,
and they can email me through that. Should I give out the website name?
Go right ahead.
Studio Printworks. That's www.studioprintworks.com. StudioPrintWorks.com. And that has my contact information right on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just email me, Dennis@StudioPrintWorks.com, to find out anything more about what we've been talking about today.
And that's the new company that has its own line of wallpaper.
That's correct.
Now, I do want to know a little bit about the wallpaper you're doing, because, you know, some people who aren't in the industry,
mm-hmm,
they might not know what's unique about it.
Absolutely.
What did you do that was so different?
Okay, Chambord Prints, as we mentioned, had been printing for the industry, and I'm sure a lot of people who have beautiful homes have products that we have up in there on their walls. It's usually our clients create very sort of traditional designs, very upper-end looking, multicolor chinoiseries, 12, and many beautiful things like that.
And it's handcrafted, it's not...
That's right. It's all hand-printed in Hoboken, in our facility, which is the largest such mill in the world. Then Studio Printworks is unique because we did something that's sort of more fresh, more young, we like to think. It's not completely modern, but it has an interesting mix of being able to fit into a modern home as well as a traditional home. So whether you have a mansion in Bedminster, or whether you have an apartment in a high-rise in Hoboken overlooking New York City, we have products that would suit both markets. And sometimes the same product would fit both because it's very, very cleverly designed to kind of fit into a more traditional home as well as fit into a sort of young home. And these days people are spending a lot of time in their homes and doing up their homes.
Yes.
And the wall space is the biggest space in your home. So that's what we've been focusing
on. And with the computers and the entertainment centers and such, you know, the little cocoon, you know, that's where they are.
Exactly. And, you know, you're spending that much money in electronics, why not buy something that's the opposite of high-tech, which is what our products are, which are handmade and beautiful designs.
Now, what's some of the next things for you? You're going to be opening up some showrooms?
Yes, we have, as you'll see on our website, we have 15 showrooms in the U.S., and we have another 3 or 4 around the world, from Canada to China to London to we have Australia, and we have a lot of interest in other countries in Europe. So
now, you didn't have showrooms before this, right?
That's right. Before, you had to buy it through an interior designer who went to a showroom, and we were the job shop that manufactured the products. Now you can buy a product that has our company name on it, and you can go to a number of showrooms which designers go to buy our products. You can contact us through the web, which has all our products on it.
So now what kind of analysis did you have to go through to figure out yes or no to showrooms and how many and where?
Okay, we had to pick things where we had to, it was interesting because you want to, on one hand, be in a place where people go, but on the other hand, you don't want there to be too many competitive products that are similar to yours.
Right.
So that was sort of a debate that we had to look at, and we found the kind of showroom that sort of young designers go to when they're creating a fresh look, and we decided since they're going there anyway, since we're a new company, that's where we need to be. We need to be where people go. And we also opened up in China, and Aldana,
yeah, I just went on a trade mission to China.
That's right. We opened up a showroom, and the day that we opened up and had a little party, the governor of New Jersey was visiting. The New Jersey Chamber of Commerce was having a trade mission. I invited everybody, and they were nice enough to all come to our opening.
That's pretty cool.
And that was
accidentally on purpose you did that. That was fabulous.
That was completely accidental. I think the stars aligned.
Yeah, right.
It was hard to make that all happen.
It was very bright. It's another example of that excellent management, I know.
And it's also, it was a good thing that the governor was proud that a New Jersey-made product was being sold in China.
Sure.
So that was a very unique concept and made in Hoboken, his backyard where he lives.
Well, and so you're not shy about it. You're going to be saying, you know, we're leaders and we're taking some chances and we're doing something different, you know, and that's part of what the brand is about. That's why I think it's not just the brand, the design of the wallpaper. That you're branding your company as being leaders and change agents.
That's right. We see creating the brand as laying down the highway, the designs and other products of the cars that will go on it. But we're in the process of continuing to build this highway, and then I have a team that will place various types of vehicles on it. That's how we see it.
You're not going to stay just in wallpaper, are you?
No, we're looking at adding a line of coordinated fabrics that could create the entire home look, and that's our plan for the next 6 months or so. So you'd have curtains and cushions, bed covers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, we'll be moving maybe a little bit more mass market and doing sheets. Mm-hmm. And we're not even sure. I don't like to exactly nail down where we'll go,
mm-hmm.
but I'm trying to think of what can keep this brand and how we can preserve it while still growing it.
Mm-hmm. And so the brand isn't necessarily, you know, just high-end. Again, hear the evolution of the branding of being excellence in management and leadership and taking some chances and increasing the pie. You hear it, folks? I want you to hear. Somebody could get rigid and say, our brand is, we're a mill, we work behind other designers, we are... It's all in how you define yourself and how you view your brand. And I want you to almost listen to this show again to hear how the evolution was possible, because it's not as simple as it sounds, because Dennis could have defined himself in a very different way. Now, Dennis, what are you worried about at this point, or what do you have to be careful of?
I think there's, we're also selling a look. I think that's part of our brand. We're creating a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is there's probably a lot of people seeing what we're doing and a competition coming in. There are a lot of other companies that are starting to do something similar to what we're doing.
Oh, you're going to have rip-off copycats.
Absolutely.
That's one of the problems with being a leader is somebody says, okay, well, I can do it just a little bit better, a little bit different color, a little bit cheaper.
Yes, exactly. Or even if they don't rip off, they're just saying this can be done.
Yeah.
And so why don't we do it also?
So how are you going to protect yourself against that?
We're going to have to just keep growing the pie.
Well, it is. You got to run faster. You
got to run faster. You've got to be innovative.
The risk of being above the radar and being this leader, you're going to have some money.
Yes, that's part. And we've got to have the right people. I think that's part of it, too, is having the people who can keep creating the products that you need to keep staying the market leader and ahead of the game.
Now, are you open to having outside investors, venture capitalists, et cetera, so that you don't run out of cash if this really takes off?
That's a very interesting question. Traditionally, we've never had to do that. There have been parts of our businesses where we've done that.
Mm-hmm.
It's an idea I'm open to as we try to create a sort of a worldwide brand of an entire group of things that fits into a lifestyle. Perhaps if one day I'm going to try and turn this into, let's say, a Louis Vuitton or something like that, then that might be something I would look at.
And one of the reasons I ask that is, you know, it's like Mrs. Fields has some cookies, okay,
mm-hmm.
and everybody wants the copy.
Right.
If that wasn't developed really quickly, especially things that feel like the franchise multiple locations is really visible, the whole world's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not powered by a financial engine for it to be well ahead
mm-hmm.
of some competitors that could just copy,
mm-hmm.
It drops. It goes away. And so I just, you know, if your background, again, how do you view the brand? If it's viewed as it's a private family business, it's just a mill, it's just our private balance sheet, and it's just, you know, you see it, if you define it that way and say, oh, no, we don't have outside investors, you could interfere with the evolution of the brand, which is change agent leadership, cutting edge, you know, creating opportunity in an industry. Your brand has evolved. And the answer to the question of do you use outside investment may be very different than it was in your father's era.
Absolutely. Actually, Aldona, I think that's an extremely important point, and it's something one has to struggle with, because that is probably even a bigger change than some of the other issues we've outlined.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and something that was very private, and you have all your own answers, and nobody could tell you what to do or even have much input because you do your own thing.
Exactly.
Mm.
This changes the way you work on a daily basis,
big
what you answer to, but it also brings up huge opportunities that you may not have otherwise had.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of the things I invite the people who are listening to this, if you can hear how hot this company is and you're interested in offering an investment and was having Dennis listen to you, you can't interfere with the momentum that he's got. If you're going to come and interfere with what he's doing, I'm sure he's not going to be interested. But I don't know, if somebody with some money that might want to talk to him might not be such a bad idea.
We are always open to ideas. We're always but they have to be the right ideas.
All right, now the contact information for me, again, is aldana@ambler.com. And it's 1-888-ALDONA. Dennis Shaw, I thank you very much for being
thank
a wonderful
you,
guest. I knew you would be fabulous.
Okay.
Everybody, listen to the show again. There's power behind the evolution. My wish to you, as it is every week, is accelerated growth with sustained profitability. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldona Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.